Hello and welcome to Chemical World. I am Kenna Crampton and I am joined in studio with the one and only Mugsy Faye.
Hey y'all, I'm Mugsy Faye, aka Maggie Seldine, founder and director of High Rockies Harm Reduction, KDNK board member, general roustabout, creative, run-amuckery kind of person out there. And I'm here with you as your co-host of Chemical World with the beautiful Kenna.
Thank you for being here. And yes, this is KDNK.
It's a great community service.
It is. And it's really great. Like this, I feel like, is such a special thing that we get to do with Chemical World. And I think that we actually do reach and touch a lot of people. And I'm really appreciative of it because it gives me a place to talk about something that's really important to me, which is like my recovery and an addiction. And I could talk about it all day, every day. But my husband gets annoyed with me.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, we will never get annoyed with you here at Chemical World. And yeah, thank you to all of our loyal listeners and first-time tuner-inners for joining us here. Before we get too deep in the conversation today, I wanted to go back to some stuff we were talking about in May. We took June 2024 off to celebrate 4 years of recording Chemical World. We decided to give ourselves a self-care month for our recording. But back in May, I was talking about some things going on with the legislative sessions out on Capitol Hill in Denver. And we had some really great bills that were passed. And so I just wanted to revisit that real quickly because they were all signed into law. So if you're interested in that, I would recommend, you know, Googling Colorado harm reduction legislation, because there have been a lot of bills that have passed and a lot of things that have changed both this year and over the past 5 years in the state of Colorado. But specifically, I wanted to make sure everyone knows that now it is totally safe and legal for anyone to use expired Narcan, even paramedics, any safety officers. I'm not going to say schools because I know they do their own thing, but in the state of Colorado, it is safe and legal for anyone in any authority position or anywhere, including bystanders who are still also protected under Colorado law, to administer Narcan free from any criminal or civil liability. So again, you know, use your Narcan, your naloxone, your Kloxxado if you have it. If you see somebody who becomes verbally unresponsive, call 911 and give them that Narcan dose in their nose. Or we do still carry the injectables over at High Rockies Harm Reduction for intramuscular application. And even if it's expired, it is still good, still safe, still totally legal.
So cool. It's really, that's so great to know, because it also is so is safe to take whether you're overdosing on an opiate or not. So if you're just unsure, just give it to them.
Absolutely. It cannot hurt. It can only help.
And it may not help if it's a, you know, not a whatever. It doesn't matter. It will. It's not harmful.
Yeah.
And especially if it's expired, that's really great to know.
Absolutely. So yeah, it doesn't matter if it's been sitting in your car for 5 years, it's definitely still worth trying. And another reminder that we are continuing to hear a lot of reports of cocaine that is contaminated with fentanyl. I believe it was the DEA in Colorado just had a really large seizure of cocaine contaminated with fentanyl. So regardless of what you're using, please be careful. Yeah. The best advice I can give you is to never use alone and always carry Narcan. Always have somebody there who can give you Narcan. The fentanyl test strips are out there too, but they are pretty ineffective. You really need to be consuming what you're testing for those to be effective, and to be testing every time, because you can't really tell what's in the entire bag or the entire pill just by testing a small part of it. Fentanyl is a very insidious drug, but Narcan or naloxone will reverse opioid overdoses, including fentanyl overdoses. So again, Narcan, naloxone, same thing. Whatever intranasal naloxone spray you have, please use it. And a reminder that you can get free Narcan and sometimes fentanyl test strips from the following locations across the area. So Leadville Public Health is distributing free Narcan. They also have new syringe disposal containers in the public health bathrooms. Eagle County Paramedics in Edwards also provides free Narcan. Summit County Public Health, as well as the Summit County Sheriff's Department and a few other resources over at the Peak One Hospital in Frisco, provide free Narcan and fentanyl test strips. You can also get free Narcan from the public health offices in Glenwood and Rifle and Mid Valley Family Practice in Willits. And hopefully we're adding more and more locations. All of our schools are getting on board with having Narcan, more and more restaurants around town and around the just Western Slope region. And really our resort towns are starting to carry Narcan. So even if you don't have it, go to the bartender, go to the server, go to the library attendant. Mm-hmm. Libraries are starting to carry it as well here in Garfield County and some of our surrounding areas. So you can get it for free from all these places. You can also come see High Rockies Harm Reduction. We are in Basalt and Carbondale second Fridays. We have two Aspen locations second Thursdays. And then we're out in Eagle County fourth Thursday, Summit County in Breckenridge and Frisco, fourth Friday, and up in Leadville on fourth Saturdays. So lots of opportunities to get free Narcan and fentanyl test strips, either from your local public health department or from us. We're really nice and fun, but so are the public health departments. And you can find our whole schedule at highrockiesharmreduction.com.
That's awesome. And I also just wanted to say one reason why it might be a little... I don't know. You might want to just reach out to High Rockies Harm Reduction if that's what you're looking for. Zero judgment. And not that they're like judging at the health department, but you might feel like they might and you might be nervous. There's going to be absolutely zero judgment from people at High Rockies Harm Reduction or your, you know, local harm reduction place if you're listening somewhere outside of Colorado or in Denver or wherever there's actually other services like that. That's one reason why I think peer support and harm reduction services are so important and so much easier to go to and get the things that you might need, because they've all been there. They're not going to judge you. They are like, yeah, here you go. Be safe. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Really. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. And, you know, if you're looking for free Narcan, the public health departments, they are great and they're really nice people. But I understand, you know, it's not always the most comfortable environment for everybody. We get it a little bit more at the harm reduction organizations. And if you have more questions or more needs or need more supplies, we can provide that. And I will say, you know, I think it takes all the different kinds of programs to meet all the different kinds of needs. And so one of the Denver programs, I think Access Point Denver is also doing mail-based for Southern and Western Colorado now. So you can check that out online too. Best of luck, because I have a hard time finding the thing sometimes. But I saw that. It is out there. And I also thank you for talking about the peer support too, because that is what makes High Rockies Harm Reduction so special. A lot of harm reduction programs do this, but we really have it written into our value system that our services are peer run and peer driven. So we're also always looking for volunteers and people who want to get involved, whether that's, you know, helping give out free Narcan at events or sitting on our board or writing grants or whatever the case may be. And so all my contact info is on our website as well. But that also reminded me of my final plug, which is that we're also hosting all recovery support groups now.
Oh, that's right.
So we've started that off for first Thursdays throughout the summer. We're starting just here in Carbondale. So we're hosting that at 6 p.m. first Thursdays at a spiritual center at the Third Street Center, which you don't have to go into the whole Third Street Center. There's like an exterior entrance in that main parking lot off of Capitol and 4th. So awesome. We are going to be right there first Thursdays from 6 to 7 for the time being. And definitely check out our schedule online, as we are hoping to add more of those. But I'll leave it cryptic for now.
Cool. Well, and that's, again, just with the zero judgment. And it's not even about like that they're going to judge you in those situations. It's just that the chances that someone at a harm reduction place has used in the past or is possibly using now is likely. And so you just feel more comfortable with someone of the same ilk, if you will.
And we speak the same language, you know?
Yeah, and like we're like, yeah, whatever, dude. But like sometimes in those other situations, it's people who have never actually really been using drugs recreationally, and there may have zero judgment. It's just that they've never been in the situation you've been in. Where, like, we maybe have.
And honestly, it's hard, I think, to not judge when you haven't. Like, it's you can't fully understand, and that's kind of the problem.
And it's not on them. We're not, we're like, I just, yeah, like, we're not trying to put it on them that they're bad people by any means. It's just we're judgy beings by nature.
Yeah, and it's, I think it takes a special kind of person to, like, really be able to embrace the perspective of someone else. And I think one of the problems in medical care, and though it's no one's fault, like, is that we come from different worlds and we're speaking mm-hmm. different languages. And somebody who had every advantage and had every resource and never had to steal to survive or never had to sell drugs to survive or sell mm-hmm. their body to survive or whatever the case may be, they're not going to understand why it's so hard to fill this form out or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be for folks who have trauma and just different histories, right? And totally. I think a big part of my mission in peer support services, you know, we know that these are evidence-based programs that have been shown to improve the relationships between patients and providers. And I think a lot of that is, the way I say it is, I'm translating what this experience is for you. We all speak different languages depending on, like, where we are and what the context calls for, but some of us don't get the opportunity to learn more of these advanced languages, and vice versa, right? So to, like, we can speak drug basically too. And so, like, we can speak from the perspective of, like, understanding, like, mm-hmm. what those needs are. And I mean, we're learning from our people all the time too, because that's the most important information we can get about what people are calling things on the street or what people are doing or how they're doing it, so that we can provide the best kind of, like, wraparound care to help support that. And then we then go and educate providers.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and it's like, just like on our side, like, I don't really understand people who don't feel the need to numb themselves. You know? So I was like, all right, whatever, you know, teach their own. And it's just, you know, I think it's just always making sure that you have compassion for other people, which we always talk about. But it's just, that's just what it comes down to, in my opinion, at least, to have a nice life. I just want to remind people that you're listening to Katie and Kay. This is Chemical World. That's why I think we keep learning that it's important to have all different types of people helping in all different types of ways, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm. you've got your medical doctor, you've got your, you know, therapist or whatever. And it's not even that you need all of those, but there's just, you know, like we're learning with the police even too, you know, it's like you can't put all of that on one resource. You know, you can't put, you know, helping people through drug addiction on a doctor who's trying to help people through cancer. You know, I mean, it's like, there's just, we need all different types of people, just like the neurodivergent. Like, that's what I keep thinking about. Like, they're trying to, like, I heard something where people were talking about, you know, is ADD something that happened even back in the hunter-gatherer days? And it's like, yeah, we needed people who thought outside the box. Otherwise, we wouldn't have evolved.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I'm a huge, huge, like, I don't.
Neurodivergence and neurotypical are just such strange words. Like, we're all divergent.
Yeah, I know.
We're all diverse.
I've been getting kind of angry at night at home, because I'm like, how can you even call it, like, different when it's like a third of the population? And like, what is, I don't know. And I've internalized a lot of negative beliefs about people with neurodivergence or whatever, but it's, we need all kinds of people. And we know that there's, like, links between creativity and neurodivergence. And I'm just glad that we have a better word for it, because I really can't deal with the phrase mental illness or anything that is any way, like, suggesting that these differences are negative. Like, there can be negative manifestations, but we're also in, like, a very, like, sick and dying society.
Yeah.
And I just always think about, like, the healing forest. And if you have, like, a healthy tree in a dying forest, that healthy tree is going to die.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, oh, God, this is kind of goes back to something I was saying earlier. I'm going off on a tangent, but it's, like, really just frustrating to me, because people with a lot of value and things to offer are often depicted, or at least feel, like, so othered and so isolated that it's really difficult for us to be a part of this community and to contribute, because it's like you have to, like, fight against so much to be a decent person in this world, it feels sometimes. And this is, I think, a good, like, leeway. I did want to mention, you know, not, like, yes, to plug it because I think it's important, but, like, going back to, like, the All Recovery Support Group and, like, what the goal mm-hmm. of that is. And we really just want to create this, like, healing space for folks and, you know, come as you are. There's no sobriety requirements. There's no, like, belief or intent that you should be even working on like your substance control. That's not what these meetings are about. They're really just a space for people to come and share and talk about things in a community. And you know, the same way, like you said, we need doctors and therapists and all and different specialists, and we do, and it's a uh-huh. lot of work, but it's your health and you're worth it. And I was thinking as you were saying that, like, it's the same with social dynamics. Like, you can't put on your best friend what you put on your dad, what you put on your partner, what you put on your coworkers, you know, yeah. and you need all of these support systems to have like a healthy and balanced existence. And that's really hard. We're also busy, and this is like we're becoming a much more like isolated society, but like, this is what it takes. It really takes community. And I think that we have such a beautiful community, and yet we still at like a very high rate, and we know this, and now we're seeing this documented more and more, like we lose people in our community to suicide and to drug overdose and to vehicular accidents and all these accidents all the time. And it's really hard because it is a small community. And I think like the cure to so much of what we're experiencing is like closer and closer community. And we have so many examples of people who were not a part of this, like who were isolated, and they are a part of the community, but they become mentally or emotionally isolated from it. And it just like breaks my heart. And I've been one of those people, and really trying to just bring more opportunities for people to come together in a safe space and just be real and raw and loved, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful and also just so important. And I think, I mean, tons of theories on why we are so isolated and why our society is the way that it is. I think that it definitely benefits the capitalist nature of this country for us to be isolated and not, and to be depressed and reliant on different types of drugs, whether it's recreational illicit drugs or drugs prescribed by your doctor, you know. I think it, whatever. I'm not going to go off on that because that's a huge tangent and a huge issue.
We have some time between now and November. I'm going to let it be a slow build.
Yeah. You know, it, no matter what, what we need to fight against is the isolation. Mm-hmm. And I just always love, you were the first person to say this to me, that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. And it just, it constantly is proven, and it constantly, I mean, that's something that like, whoo, when you're feeling the most depressed and you're, no one wants to be here for me. And then the second you reach out to someone, all they want to do is be there for you because we love each other. You know, even if, you know, I don't necessarily love everybody, but I love my people and my community for sure.
Yeah. And it's so hard. I know for me, when I get really down, I don't like, I think about calling people and I don't want to. And there's uh-huh. definitely like a self-sabotage aspect of that. Definitely. Is I'm like, I don't want you to make me feel better. I also don't want to show you my shame.
Yeah.
And so we tend to like, the worse things are going, like the less we want to talk about it. Right. Yeah. And that's, I think, having these, you know, just judgment-free spaces. And I think it also is really helpful to talk to people who are like outside a little bit of your uh-huh. like personal experience to get like just more objective stuff, because sometimes it can be really hard when you are going through something with your family, with your community, and they're all going through it too. And then you're experiencing your grief or your reaction, and then you're taking on this person's and that person's, and everyone has different reactions, and we can't really carry it all, right? So like to get outside of that and talk to somebody else. I agree, yeah, that the isolation is so detrimental and almost so natural now. And like, how do we get out of it. It's like, you gotta just come pull me out of my apartment some days. And sometimes, we all kind of, it would be great if we all had friends who could do that.
And sometimes we need that. And, you know, I mean, it's like, I don't know if we were talking about this before or not, but, you know, no matter how old you get, you kind of realize, like, if you have a really high, a really high day where you're just so happy, so good, there is a come down, you know, and it's, you know, just learning how to either deal with the come down, and maybe it is, I'm just going to hang out in my apartment today and tomorrow I'll go out and it's okay. I just need this time to recharge and be alone and be a little sad. But the best part about getting outside of your head and outside of maybe your like immediate people, community, and just a little bit outside of it is sometimes this is comforting, sometimes it's not, but that this is a smaller issue involved in a bigger one. You know, like it's a part, it was all a part of it, but like your issues aren't, it's not that it's not, they're not big because they feel so big and I don't want to minimize them. But when you realize that, oh yeah, I'm just another person on this planet and everyone else is suffering from other issues, maybe the same, maybe different, it sometimes does feel good. Like, oh yeah, we're all kind of doing it and I'm not alone.
Yeah. And I think it's funny, what I learned the most from community is that isolation is not unique to me. And that was like kind of an ironic like discovery for me. It's like my isolation or my feelings of isolation is what helped me feel connected to others.
Yeah.
And yeah, knowing I wasn't alone. And I really appreciate you bringing this back up because we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. And this is kind of a difficult subject for me and probably for many people listening, but I actually do feel like it's really important to say this and to share this. So I'm glad that you brought it back up, that I was just talking earlier about how I have always struggled with suicidal ideation and depression. And I remember the first time that I ever had like a very specific thought about suicide, I was 11 years old. And I don't know, it was like even in that moment, I was like, whoa, this is like a moment that I'm experiencing. Like, this is something I'm like kind of gonna always remember. Is like even then it was like, this is the first time I'm thinking about this, like knowing it would be like a long time to come. And I think too, like often we engage in suicidal behaviors without like realizing that that's what it is. Like not everyone like actively thinks about suicide.
Like not wearing a seatbelt and stuff.
Yeah, like, but just like in retrospect, or just, you know, like partying all the time or just, I don't want to say a lot because I don't want to put any judgment potentially on people who engage in like fun behaviors. But for me, looking back, it's like there were times where I didn't necessarily like actively think about suicide, but I was not like, I was living like a very dangerous lifestyle, I guess. And I didn't care and I wasn't afraid by that. And I think too that there's like just neurodivergent things that happen that like different people like obviously have different like fear reactions, and people who have like a higher threshold, they like push it further, right? Yeah. So like there's free solo and then there's like sleeping under the Santa Monica Pier when I was 17. Like there's, you know, there's a wide range in between. But just that, you know, it's so I mean, obviously, it's hard for all of us to lose people to suicide, and it happens. And I think that it's really important to just talk about it because it is. And this is something I heard last week, but just completely unrelated to what we're talking about today, is like suicide is socially contagious, and we see that. And death is contagious, and we've seen in a lot of our communities, like somebody dies from an overdose, and then three of their friends kill themselves. Like these are things that are happening in our communities actively, and I think it's really important to talk about. And for me, I was so suicidal for so long, but I always had like this glimmer of hope. Music has always been really, really important to me. And I remember even as like a young teenager, I would tell myself like, well, if you feel this way every day for a month, and then after doing that for a long time and never feeling that way every day for a month, I was like, oh wow, so it really does always get better. And I felt like things in my life like kind of progressively got better. But I would always have those moments of like sinking into depression. And I would always have those like intrusive thoughts of harming myself in ways that I would like never even harm myself. But they were like still like flash images that I would just have all the time when I would get frustrated or the slightest bit anxious or whatever. And it was always keeping me going, that it always gets better. It always gets better. And then kind of as an adult, I realized like, oh no, but it always gets worse too.
Yeah.
And that was a really hard moment. And I kind of resigned to like, this is who I am. I'm always going to have anxiety. I'm always going to have depression. I'm always going to like have these moments of feeling life is worthless. And maybe that's true. But I feel like in the past few years, I've really been able to come full circle and see like these changes in my anxiety and depression and like really feel better. And it's not 100% better. It's not completely gone, but it is like night and day to the point mm-hmm. that like I never thought it was possible to be this happy. And it just, I really want people to know, because I think it's so hard to get bogged down in that and to be like, this is how it's always going to be. This is how I am. And life sucks, but it's not true. Like I kind of come from a really, really bad background and a lot of trauma, but you know, I pushed through and I kept fighting and I kept that glimmer of hope alive. And I just, whatever we can do to help other people see that glimmer, because you are worth it. And suicide should never be the answer, because everyone has so much to contribute to this community. And even if you're 30 or 40 or 70, like you still never know what you still can contribute and also receive and feel mm-hmm. and full up. And that's what we always say with overdoses and naloxone, is like people are robbed of the opportunity to recover and they're robbed of the opportunity to get better when they die from these accidental deaths of despair
yeah.
or intentional deaths of despair. And I just hope that this is reaching somebody who needs to hear.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being so honest, because that's again, that's what we need. We need to. Reminder that we have all been there, and that it's hard, and that it's also beautiful, and there can be so much to live for, and we all get second chances, third, fourth, 10, 20 chances. You know, it's life is long and life is also short, so embrace it and look at the birds.
You only get one chance. Might as well live it to its fullest. And what I will say too, that I feel like having those like really, really, really dark things actually makes it like so I can experience even mm-hmm. more like levels of beauty. Happiness.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I hate that we have to end it there, but we have reached our time.
Thank you for listening yeah. and letting me get so emotional. I know that's a rough way to end it out, but you can listen to old episodes of Chemical World at katieandk.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is right. And we will be back next month, August 12th at 4:30 p.m.
4 p.m. Sorry, our time has changed.
Oh, it has changed. Okay, thank you so much. At 4 p.m. And yes, you can listen to past episodes at katieandk.org. You can find so many great things, past shows of both Muggsy and I's there if you want to. but yeah, thank you for listening. And remember, you don't have to be sober
to keep your community clean. Thank you so much, Kenna.
Thank you.